for my time. Stay away from your maze, why you make me shame. When you start talking way too smooth, the CD is me up and I'm going for
two. Welcome to the Earthly Dish Radio Hour. We serve up the hottest in detox technology. I'm Detox Jenny, your co-host, executive chef for Earthly Juices, and I specialize in creating living foods that nourish the body. Please let me introduce my co-host, Detox Counselor Ellie Laura.
Hi, I'm Ellie, and I'm your wellness coach, and I specialize in detoxing the body and helping you bridge the mind and body gap. Let us hydrate your mind with our edible podcast and transform your eating habits, which will improve your digestion and your overall health with ease.
Our hosts are not medical practitioners and are not legally able to offer prescriptions, provide medical advice, or medical diagnosis to any of the Earthly Podcast listeners.
Welcome. Welcome to our show, everyone. Thanks again for another amazing episode. Here we are.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi.
So what's our show topic today?
Oh my goodness. We have a great show for you today. Today we have our guest. His name is Dwayne Law, and he's an expert, an acupuncturist, and an expert in the topic that we're looking forward to discussing is breaking that sugar habit. So it's the Sugar Buster, and we're here breaking bad with the Sugar Buster with Dwayne Law today. Going to be a cool one.
Yeah, it's really exciting, actually, because so many people come to us talking about sugar addiction and where they don't even know where to start. Like, people are just completely overwhelmed and they feel like they're just a victim to their sugar cravings. Like, they just can't stop. They can't stop. They don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, it's interesting because this problem is not just like a physical craving problem, it's an emotional thing. You know, quite often when I talk to women about sugar addiction, they tell me that they just, you know, if they feel down or they feel sad or, you know, just out of sorts, the first thing they desire is chocolate, is sugar. Is
sugar, sweets. It doesn't even have to be chocolate.
Secret
something.
Sort of pick-me-up. You know?
Yeah, cake, cookies, all those little things that can be the pickups. And especially that is definitely true for a lot of emotional issues, is sugar tends to be this perfect antidote to kind of turn it around really quickly, or, you know, a quick energy boost. And it's so often wreaks so much havoc in the long run. You know, it's not just occasional treat here for a holiday or a special occasion. It's something that, you know, it can be an addiction where it's like you're working or you're doing something and you just have to stop and find sugar. I know in my work area, there's candies and all these little pockets of our office, and people, you know, in 1 week, all these candies will be gone. And it's just an unconscious thing. People are moving. We're trying to do so much work and try to do so much during our day that we find sugar as that fuel. And it's just a really difficult one. But there is solution. There is help. And that's why we're here today in bringing in Dwayne to help us with this addiction. You know,
yeah,
transformation.
It's a difficult one. Like, it's interesting, like in my childhood, I think it goes back to our childhood too. And like, what relationship was created with sugar for us as well.
Right.
Like, I think about in my house growing up, man, you got in trouble if you were caught eating candy. Like, we would be like, Mom, please, can we have something? And she would be like, okay, how about a fruit leather? We're like, we don't want a fruit leather. sugar. You know? Or like, my mom would be like, I'd be like, can we have some chocolate cake? You know, like, can we have some brownies? And she used to have these things like, well, you could only have it if you make it yourself. You know, and then what do I end up doing with my life? I'm a chef, right?
Yeah.
We weren't allowed anything processed. We had to make it all from scratch. And then if we were to have it, and then my mom was like, you know, you can only have so much. Like, she was very controlling when it came to what we were allowed to eat. But, you know, what happens as a result when you are super controlling on your kids with sugar is they end up doing it behind your back.
Binging.
They find it. It's like, it does. Like, I know my mom meant well, but it kind of set set me and my brother up for, like, if we ever got money, we would go and secretly buy candy and eat it where she could never see us. And
all
I think
of it. All of it. Just at Wind City.
All at once, you know, like there was no, like, you made a batch of brownies, like, from scratch, and now you're going to have one brownie, like, as a dessert or reward. Like, no, we were just binge out. And it made this kind of, like, I don't know, like, I know a lot of people have issues with this where they're secretly eating sugar and feeling terrible about it. But, like, it's like this little, like, monkey on their back. So,
and I have to say one thing, you know, because we're in the food industry and we cater to a lot of different types of food needs, it doesn't mean that having to do, like, I mean, veganism and people who are vegetarian or have, you know, really super clean diets can also have these type of secret addictions too. And I just want to say that because I'm calling out my friends who I know have these issues and they eat pretty healthy like 90% of the time. But, you know, the sugar does creep up on everybody. So even if you are eating a clean diet, sugar is a big, big deal. So I just want to address that for all of us.
Yeah. So, it's interesting too, if we go back to like thinking about how we, like, we actually have a cleanse called the Sugar Buster. And, what it is it's juices and smoothies, soups and salads, and then you do a salt flush. And, the people say it really helps them reset from processed sugars, like processed and sugars like white sugar, candy bars, cakes and cookies, because what they do when they get on the Sugar Buster is they go from those processed sugars in their body and, like, you know, being addicted to that high glucose experience to medium or low glycemic drinks and juices for 2 to 5 days. And what happens, it literally resets the sugar barometer in the body towards fructose rather than other kinds of sugars that are more processed. Now, you can also get addicted to fruits. You can be really wild and eat a lot of fruit all the time, but you'd be much better off to have fruit over processed sugars. So this kind of resets you to get you on the fruit and vegetable kick for your sugar desires. So the next time, it's like a step down. And then Dwayne will share on some supplements and other things that you can do to take us further down that rabbit hole if you really want to just, like, start to pull sugar out. I see it as a weaning process. You don't want to just cut cold turkey, because people get a little crazy when they cut sugar cold turkey. What you actually want to do is kind of take it out slowly over a matter of time where you're at a reasonable level. You know, I've noticed people that get really extreme and they take out all the sugar. All they end up doing is they quit sugar for 30 days and clean up their bodies. But then they go back. So the first trigger that hits them, they go right back to their old pattern. So it's like this binge purge sort of vibration. So, yeah. And then there's, so basically when we do these juices and our smoothies, we're using whole sugars in a way. They're not processed. They're like, we're using dates, agave, maybe maple syrup, or honey. We're using a much lesser amount than I think people are used to on average. So,
and also just to address that, Jen, I know we're talking about sugar, but we also have to talk about the glycemic index, because honey has a lower glycemic index than agave, and coconut nectar has the lowest glycemic, in me, lowest amount of sugar in all of these. So this is another way, just to, as we're fine tuning and really looking at sugars and sweeteners and moving it down to a finer line. So these are some things that maybe even Dwayne can talk about.
Yeah. So, I mean, the other thing too is, like, if you're battling IBS, you might want to consider substituting maple syrup, because it's not what's called a FODMAP. It doesn't ferment in the gut the same way that other sugars do. Ellie, maybe we should share the Earthly Dish of the Week.
Awesome.
We're
the
on
recipe.
Kind of the juice topic and getting off candy bars and onto juice and fruits and vegetables.
Okay, so I'd love to introduce this recipe. This one comes straight from the original Earthly Juice bar that we had in Orange County. And this one's called the G3. And I love this one because there was a song at the time when we had the juice bar about the G3. And it was like one of our fun songs that we play in the kitchen. And basically, we had Dr. Oz's Mean Green, but that name was so long. We abbreviated every juice to like Green 1, Green 2, Green 3. And this was G3, Green 3. And it was one of our most popular ones in our cleanse packages because it's low glycemic. So again, this juice is has maybe about five ingredients or six ingredients. Excuse me, it's cucumber, celery, lime, kale, green apple, and ginger. So it's not too sweet, and it's still high on the vegetable with the cucumbers and the celeries to help you detox. And if you do want to put anything like more detoxing in there, you could put dandelion or turmeric and add that in, or just even fresh coconut water for more hydration. And that one is called the G3 or the Dr. Oz's Mean Green.
Yeah, we still sell it. It's a bestseller. People used to people often come in and actually order it when they're post-workout, because the celery brings back healthy salts into the body and hydration. Celery is like incredible for the colon lining. It rebuilds it. And so does kale, because it has vitamin K in it. So one of the big suggestions we're giving you by giving you a recipe like this is, instead of, you know, when you're feeling a dip, like you're like, oh, I want coffee. Oh, I want sugar. Oh, I'm craving. Reach for a juice. Go for a juice that's a low to medium glycemic. And if you really want to take this to the next level, you can pull out the apples and just go no fruiters. That's what we call it when we take out all the fruit, except for lime or lemon or grapefruit. We call it a no fruiters. And it's amazing, actually. When you start juicing, you kind of need it to be sweet because you're not used to having your vegetables juiced or mixed with fruit. And your body kind of needs it a little more sweet because it's hard to palate, you know, kale juice. But as you start to juice more and more, you're going to want to experiment, and you can start pulling out those fruits and just going more alkaline, more green. And you might even find that you actually love it, and that your sugar addiction starts to evaporate because you've kind of start to train or retrain your body to enjoy like healthy vegetables.
So. Also, yeah. And remember too, if you are going no fruiters, try to find something that it can bind with those carotenoids, because all the green chlorophyll needs to bind to carotenoids. So you can find things like carrots, or put some type of coconut fat or coconut water. And that was why I suggested coconut water, because of the types of molecular binding that the chlorophyll needs to bind onto. It needs to bind onto a fat or a carotenoid. So that was an option for those no fruiters, or if you want to take out the citrus, which also binds the chlorophyll.
Actually, right, surprising. Yeah, that's absolutely true. If you want to uptake chlorophyll, the best way to do it is two ways. You can have vitamin C, which is often found in lemons and limes. That's why we don't take it out even when we go no fruiters. And then the other binder for greens into the body are fats. And what's awesome is kale and broccoli both have fat in them as well, which is kind of weird. You wouldn't even think of that, right?
Right.
But Ellie's idea to put, sometimes when I make no fruiter drinks, I'll put a little drop of cold pressed olive oil in there and a little touch of sea salt. And I'll be like, dang, that just went up five notches. You know, like, and I find I like it. Or somebody will put a little cayenne pepper in there too, you know, and like it kind of hits that Bloody Mary spot in it, in a way, because of the fat and the salt.
Nice.
So we're going to take a little commercial break, and then we're going to bring on our guest, and we're going to get into his sugar story. Hey there, Detox Jenny here. Is your digestion poor, painful, or just plain stuck? If so, please consider doing a short 3 to 10 day juice cleanse with my company, Earthly Juices. You can visit us at bringmejuice.com. You will be surprised what a difference a short cleanse can make within your body and your overall well-being.
Our organic farm-to-table juice cleanses are handcrafted to exclude your allergies and geared towards solving your health issues. Call 310-404-6804 and mention this show and receive a free quart of juice with your first order. You can also find us at www.bringmejuice.com, or you could write us your detox questions at earthlyjuices@gmail.com. We can't wait to bring that juice to your doorstep.
I tell myself again and again, I'm happy about my favorite juice from Jen. I tell myself again and again, well, Earthly Juices, they make the best juice plans.
Hi, hey, we're back. Great. I'm so excited now to introduce everyone to our friend and healing practitioner, Dwayne Law, who has a practice out in Westwood in Los Angeles, West LA. And I know he's primarily an acupuncturist, but he does a lot of different healing modalities. So he'll talk and share about those too. I first met Dwayne when I was doing my therapy intern hours in Orange County, and he was a support for therapists to help other media and different promotions that he does and help therapists kind of find different ways to doing the work we do. So I want to just also introduce him and let him know just how, let you all know how helpful he was for me in terms of learning how to, you know, learn how to juice and how to create, you know, our cleanse packages. So he's been a really huge person in our life for these different treatments of this sugar addiction. So hey, Dwayne, how are you?
Oh gosh, that's so sweet. You guys are so sweet. It's so good to be hearing your voices again. It's been a little while.
You too.
Yeah,
you
know,
what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Well, I'm obsessed with teaching mental health therapists about nutrition and mental health. You know, and a few years ago, I went out and videoed a bunch of people talking about it and realized that that wasn't the whole story, that the state of understanding that therapists had about the relationship between nutrition and mental health was, from my perspective, you know, maybe about, you know, 5 or 10 years in the past. And, you know, that's a good 10 or 20 years ahead of everybody at large. But, you know, the problem with being me is that, you know, I got into acupuncture in 1978. Okay. So, you know, it was 20 years before people started to figure out that it really worked. And the MDs in the neighborhood said, okay, you know, you're not a total fraud. These days, I'm really into functional medicine, which is, a label that's used to describe, you know, kind of what we used to call integrative medicine. Remember integrative medicine? You know, trying to take alternative medicine, which was the label before then, and put it together with Western medicine.
Right.
You know, functional medicine is kind of like the next generation of that, where we start to use science and evidence-based work. And there's a lot of it being done all over the world right now. There's a whole generation of young researchers coming up who you get the impression they drank their juice when they were kids, too. You know,
right?
They may have been dealing with their addictions, but they also had parents who were trying to hip them, and they're doing amazing work showing the kinds of things that, you know, folks like you, folks like me, everyone who's been looking at health as something that you want to enhance by putting natural things into the body rather than things that come out of a lab somewhere, you know. All that, you know, it's coming together and the evidence is being accumulated to explain it and guide it. And that's what functional medicine is. It's an attempt to put together the stuff that you and I and all sorts of other people like us have been doing for generations and inform it with what's going on in the lab. So, you know, among other things, genetics gets involved here. You know, you've probably seen that, right. You know, sometimes when you do cleanses with people, one person's cleanse might be another person's crisis, right? You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And in fact, you might be fine on one cleanse just inside your body, and then you do it 3 months later and you have a crisis.
What have we done to try and cover for that? You know, I don't know about you, but I've always tried to take things slowly, right? Just in case, right?
Hmm. Yeah, I tell people to go slow to if they're going to make lifestyle changes, you know, make one a month or two a month. Don't try to do it all at once because you'll just rubber band back, you know.
Exactly. Baby steps are so much better than big sweeping dramatic gestures, you know. It's like I always tell people, our, you know, our bodies are sort of like, you know, like a 747 coming in for a landing, you know. And the last thing you want to do is try and make that thing turn on a dime. It's going to break up in midair, you know. Well, we now understand how our genetics can make some of us respond to detoxes differently than others.
So true.
And it's brand new knowledge. People have just been figuring this out in the last 3 or 4 years. But, you know, if that's where I personally am going in my work. I am fascinated by all of this. I acquired a mentor, a psychiatrist in Burbank, Nancy Mullen, who is just amazing. If there's, you know, if there's anyone who's more oriented towards natural stuff than us, it's her. And to find a psychiatrist with that orientation is pretty interesting. And she's been teaching me about this because she's been doing it for years. And I have to say that the more of this level of understanding I bring into my work, I'm now able to tackle some of the really chronic problems that, you know, needles alone didn't handle in the past. And it's also enabled me to move into a practice style where I'm working remotely with people. I've become an acupuncturist's acupuncturist. I've got people in Ireland. I've got people in Australia. I've got people all over the English-speaking world.
And oh, so like what you were doing with the therapist, you're now doing with acupuncturists, too. You're training them.
Well, I'm training them, but I'm also helping them figure out when they have stubborn cases, I can get on the phone with their clients and on the web and orchestrate a process that, you know, if we were here in face-to-face, would be just like a clinical encounter, except we're on different sides of the planet. And technically, I can't diagnose that way. So it's more of an educational process than it is a diagnosis and a prescription. But more and more people are interested in that, particularly the ones with chronic issues, because after all, what is a chronic health problem? It's one that nobody who's tried to tackle it has had the right tool for yet, right?
Yeah, you haven't gotten to the root of it, you know.
You haven't gotten
to the root. It keeps expressing itself in different ways. It might even shift a little, I've noticed, with clients.
Right tool for the right job, you know, and definitely, definitely baby steps. So, you know, I had to laugh when you were telling your stories about sugar and kids.
Yeah.
Being young, you know. I grew up in a house way on top of the hills in the Hollywood Hills, and we would get on our skateboards, and it would become the major outing of the day. We would go down to the bottom of the hill, which was quite an outing.
Oh, wow.
And go to the local store and tank up on all our favorite, you know, high glycemic treats. Yeah. And then go running around the neighborhood like crazy people for the next few hours. And then I'd collapse into bed. I don't know if that happened to you, but, you know, what I got from my sugar high was about 2 to 3 hours of frenetic activity and then a crash, which, interestingly enough, was kind of, some days it was kind of nice, you know. Other days, I don't know. Because it was a worry.
Your mom's like, he's finally taking a nap.
Yeah, but my mind would be racing.
But she had no idea why.
And not in a good way. Did your minds race when you were on sugar?
Yeah, and I noticed now.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Dwayne, I don't know if you know, but me and Ellie are both moms. I have a 2-year-old and she has a 4-year-old.
Well, and I've been watching you guys, and congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. It's really fun, but I feel like I'm walking in my mom's footsteps because whenever my son gets his handle on sugar, he becomes a maniac. Ellie's daughter, too. Like, they just...
It's bad. It eats them up.
Mm-hmm. They get really, really intense, and then they crash, like you said. So this is the pattern with sugar, right? It's like up, down, up, down, up, down. There's no middle ground.
Well, would you like to know why?
Yeah.
We are so entranced. Yes, tell us, because you have the answers.
Well, I've got a few of them. Definitely don't have all of them, and I just found that out again this morning. Darn. But anyway, here's one I probably do have. All right. When blood sugar goes up, we get a dopamine surge. You guys know about dopamine, right? Dopamine
is
the reward neurotransmitter. Yeah. It's the neurotransmitter of falling in love, you know? It rewires the brain to repeat whatever behavior gave the brain the dopamine surge in the first place, right? So anything that raises blood sugar gives us a dopamine payoff, okay? And that explains a lot, including sugar addiction. It's why sugar tastes so good. Okay. And it's why it's so hard to kick, because it's leveraging the same addictive pathways that all addictive substances leverage. Heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, you name it.
It's all about dopamine.
It's all about the dopamine and maybe the norepinephrine, okay, which is excitement, okay? People who bungee jump, people who skydive, they're looking for a norepinephrine hit, okay, as well as a dopamine.
Well, and people who have adrenal fatigue, they want that norepinephrine.
Oh, don't get me started. I mean, adrenal fatigue. There's about 30 to 60% of the population that has genetic SNPs in their methylation cycle. And I don't want to get too bio-geeky on you.
What is that?
But I'm following you. Yeah, the MTHFR.
There's a very important, very basic chemical function that goes on in the body called methylation. It's as basic as oxidation. When we breathe and our cells make energy from the oxygen we breathe in, you know, that's oxidation. Well, methylation is that basic, all right? And for better or worse, it appears that a fairly large portion of the population has genetic SNPs which keep them from methylating optimally.
Exactly.
Now, those SNPs may confer other benefits. We don't know. The science is in its infancy, and we're just starting to figure this out. But what we do know is that some people methylate much more efficiently than others, and methylation is involved in hundreds of key metabolic pathways, including making neurotransmitters, okay? So people who under-methylate sometimes, especially if their diets are not full of healthy green juices, which help us methylate.
Oh, love
green
it.
Green things help us methylate, okay? If they're eating a white diet, okay, white bread, white sugar, white potatoes, white, you know, fast food, basically. Okay?
Gluten, too.
You know, gluten, yeah, all of that, okay. Then, and they've got these SNPs, then they're not going to be making optimal amounts of the neurotransmitters that help us be fully present and enjoy our lives. And sometimes what happens is those brains learn it's better to be upset than to be bored. Okay, or to take risks than to be bored, or to start fights than to be bored, all right, or to get addicted to sugar, because sugar will give us a nice dopamine hit. We'll wake up for a little while, okay, let's go out and get that morning, frappuccino, right, okay, we'll wake up for a little bit, we'll get that dopamine hit, and then what happens is, the body has to do something about this because sugar, especially refined sugar, it's very sticky stuff, right? So if the body doesn't bring this under control really rapidly, it starts to glue itself together. We call that glycation. And to oversimplify just a little bit, if you want to have Alzheimer's at an early age, just glycate your brain, okay? There's other things involved than the glycation. Let's not go there. But we're seeing more and more and more that high sugar diets are associated with early onset dementia.
So, which is interesting because you're saying it's like these white foods. What we've often said to people is that, you know, noodles and rice, and pasta and all this stuff, you're gluing your gut together. But you're saying you're actually gluing your brain together.
You're gluing everything together.
I know. You're just getting like a swampy glue mess inside. Which is
so
aided by mucus, right?
Oh boy. I mean, well, yeah. Yeah.
So go ahead. Sorry.
Well, let's see. Where were we? We got lost in the weeds there on the nasty side of all of this. okay, here let's finish what happened. So when the blood sugar starts to go up like that, really high, the body has to do something or it starts to creme brulee itself, basically. And what it does is it secretes insulin. Insulin is a hormone that pushes sugar out of the bloodstream into the cells, okay? Brings the blood sugar back down. We don't go blind at 20, okay, because we had a sugar addiction in our teen years, all right? Here's the thing. Insulin also pushes all the large amino acids out of the blood. It spares tryptophan. Tryptophan is the smallest amino acid. You know, think of like a school bus with a bunch of kids and a few bullies trying to get on all at once, okay? And tryptophan is like the smallest kid, okay? So they're the last to get on the bus. So when insulin is pushing all the kids onto the bus, tryptophan gets left on the sidewalk. And what it does instead is it makes serotonin inside the cells. Okay. And so we get, first we get the dopamine payoff, which addicts us to the sugar. And then we get the serotonin payoff about a half an hour to an hour later, which puts us to sleep. Okay. But what happens is the serotonin and the insulin is pushing the blood sugar down. And this system, if we're driving it with artificial sugars, refined sugars, we're basically kicking this system. It's not designed to deal with it. You know, it's like we've got, you know, an old, you know, it's like we've got, you know, a very small car and we're treating it like a race car, you know. And something's going to break down. And what breaks down is the system that controls how much insulin gets secreted. And so we can secrete too much, all right? Mm. That pushes blood sugar down too far. And when that happens, stress hormones get secreted. Because stress hormones are designed to pull sugar out of storage so we can run or fight for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the addictive cycle. Yes, exactly. This is the addictive cycle with sugar. You get the dopamine payoff, tastes wonderful. Oh, yeah, let's enjoy dessert. By the time we get home, it's time to take a nap. When we wake up, you might not want to talk to us.
Grumpy.
You know, and we might be craving the sugar again because we want to feel good. We want that dopamine, okay?
Right.
And you can see this cycle happening with all kinds of things that push dopamine, whether it's heroin, cocaine, bungee jumping, creating, you know, fights in a relationship, you name it, you know? Like, it works for a while, but not for very long. So do you want to hear what we do about this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please.
I'm glued to you right now. I'm glued to every word.
I'm in the solution. I'm all glued together.
Oh, God.
Okay, well, you know, we're skipping the dramatic personal story where, you know, I was like on the autistic spectrum from a family of autistic.
I want to hear this. Can you just
tell us the story? Tell us the solution.
How did you come from Breaking Bad to Breaking Good?
So you want a cliffhanger here? You want me to tease you? There is a solution, which we will get to in a minute. But
yeah,
first,
but tell us more of your story.
Dwayne's story. Okay, well, God, I am pushing 65, girls, which is amazing because I sure don't feel it. And you know, I live here in Westwood, close to UCLA. And even thank God I'm safely married, because from time to time, in fact, this just happened a couple of months ago, some of these 19 and 20 year olds will peg me as being fair game for them. I have to kind of swat them away.
Well, that must feel good.
That does feel good. And, you know, what I think it is, you know, I grew up in such, you know how the best ginseng comes from the coldest part of China? You know, I grew up in L.A. in the 50s and 60s, there was lead in the gasoline, okay? My preschool was 50 yards mm-hmm. from the Hollywood Freeway. You know how when you get stuck on the freeway behind a car that comes from the 50s and 60s, you have to roll up the windows and hit recirculation, you know, and if you're not gagging already, right? Imagine a time when every car on the road was like that, and everybody thought it was normal and inevitable, okay? The fight to take lead out of gasoline was just as hard as the fight we have now to get carbon out of the air. Okay? And it was the same stuff, all right? We all had inflamed brains. We all wanted the quick hit, okay? And there are parts of the country and parts of the world where this still goes on. We want that dopamine. We want that serotonin because we are so agitated by the heavy metals inflaming our brains, okay? And you can, you know, fill in the blank. What brain inflaming thing is your favorite? You know?
Wow.
You know? Okay. Mm-hmm. So we were all sugar junkies, right? Okay. And there I was, you know, hand flapping at home, you know, and not understanding, you know, that other people were, you know, people and all of that. And it's been a long, slow climb out of it, but finding out about sugar addiction was the first step, because what's happening in a lot of autistics get addicted to their processed carbs. That keeps the microbiome in a disordered state, and that keeps feeding the inflammation that feeds the autism. Now, I'm not going to say that, you know, curing autism is done by taking people off refined carbs. I think there's a lot more that's involved in that, but it can be a crucial step.
Actually, they're finding a lot of research that the ketone diets are amazing for autistic children, which ketone diets have no refined carbohydrates.
There's at least a half dozen different things that people can do to help.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with a complex system, so you can, you know, intervene on, you know, a couple of different levels and have an effect.
Truly, yeah.
You know, but certainly getting rid of the sugar is part of it. So, So we were all fighting with each other all the time, and there are parts of my family that still are addicted to sugar who still like to live that way, apparently. I try to talk them out of it, but it's not too easy. As they sure like their soda pop. I went nuts. I went off to college. You know, I was suicidal. I was starting fights. I was doing all the, you know, we have all had a quick tour of what college life can be like for dysfunctional males recently, haven't we? Mm-hmm. So I was living that life, not as much fun as some, but I certainly had the anger and the rage. And I flamed out and came back to town, crashed on my parents' couch for a while, and got a job driving school bus, which, given the state I was in, should terrify anybody with school-age children. and that lasted a couple of months before I backed up into somebody that I shouldn't have when I overshot a driveway. But along the way, one of my coworkers noticed me making beelines to the vending machines. And she looked at me and she said, "Dwayne, have you ever heard of hypoglycemia?" And I hadn't. So off I went to the medical library, I looked it up, and to make a long story short, I found a psychiatrist who was the head of a society of renegade psychiatrists treating mental illness with diet and nutrition. This was about
renegades. 70, wow.
That was about 75.
I love it.
75. Yeah. Oh, yeah, those people were really putting
it. Yeah, that's the year I was born.
You know? He took me off all carbs. And I was astonished. I went from, well, first of all, if you are a carb head and you go off all carbs, you do a crash and burn. Yeah. Mine lasted about two and a half weeks. All I could do was read and stay horizontal because my adrenals were so burnt out. You know, I could see that in retrospect. Didn't know at the time. Slowly, though, I was young. I was in my 20s, so they started to recover. And after about 3 weeks, I started feeling better than I have ever felt in my life. I felt peaceful. I felt happy. I had never really felt those emotions with all the bleeped sugar. And I thought to myself, if something so ubiquitous could be having such a powerfully negative effect on me, what else is there? So that was about 40 odd years ago, and here I am now. And I'm here to tell you that getting a handle on a sugar addiction can be a really, really, really good thing to do if you want to have a better life. So how do you do that? Here's what we do. There's an amino acid called L-glutamine. Okay, you can get it in any decent health food store. It gets converted into the body into something called glutamic acid and GABA. Okay, glutamic acid is a stimulating neurotransmitter. And GABA is a relaxing neurotransmitter. And L-glutamine itself is extremely nourishing to the gut lining. In fact, L-glutamine is the most abundant amino acid in the body. And there's a bit of a mystery as to why taking it by mouth in gram quantities has any effect at all. There's two ways to take it. The way I've always recommended is 3 grams a day, first thing in the morning on an empty stomach, no solid food for 20 minutes. Because you want amino acids compete with each other for assimilation. So if you want the medicinal effect of a specific amino acid, you want to take it on an empty stomach. 20 minutes is long enough. And generally in anywhere from a week to 8 weeks, a sweet tooth will evaporate. And it's an amazing experience to have. Sweet will go from being one of the most compelling tastes around to being just another taste, like salt or bitter, you know. You can lose the emotional valence that it has. And there I'm going to get geeky for about 20 seconds. For those who want to dig into the geeky details, Google something called the D4.7 dopamine receptor, because it controls the conversion of glutamic acid to glutamate. It controls the conversion of glutamate to glutamic acid. and it's associated with addictive behavior. There are certain variations on that gene which are associated with addictive behavior. So it's interesting that all this L-glutamine does this, you know.
Right.
It may be doing something to the gut microbiome too. We don't know. Okay. But 3 grams a day will do it. Now, here's the deal. L-glutamine, it's the most abundant amino acid in the body. 3 grams a day is a small quantity to take by mouth. But brain tumors love L-glutamine. So you don't want to take it in these quantities indefinitely. Okay. And people will say sometimes, ooh, gack, why would you want to do anything that could do that? Well, okay, first of all, sugar will do that too.
Yeah.
You know, tumors love sugar. So yes. If you've got a sweet tooth, I wouldn't worry about the L-glutamine. Okay. And secondly, it seems like you need to take it for long, long periods of time. Bodybuilders will do this sometimes. They're fond of L-glutamine too for various reasons. And apparently you need to take it for years and years and years at high quantities before anything like that can start to show up just from that. But I always recommend don't take it for longer than 8 weeks. I've never seen a case where it was necessary. And when the sweet tooth goes away, you can stop it. Now, it also works for alcoholism.
Amazing.
And I have seen it work in people who did not know they were getting it. I had a neighbor's family who had an alcoholic husband. And the wife came to me and said, you know, we have this problem. And I taught her how to mix it into his morning scrambled eggs. And 8 weeks to the day after he started getting that, he went on the wagon. And he did not know that she had been doing that. And if he had known, he wouldn't have approved. With children who have sweet tooths, I would start with a smaller dose, maybe 1.5 to 2 grams. I wouldn't continue again longer than 8 weeks. I am not prescribing this to anybody because this is a podcast. And I am not examining you in an office. So this is educational, not prescriptive.
Exactly.
Okay. There is another way of working with L-glutamine. Hyla Kass, a psychiatrist in Marina Del Rey, who also recommends this. She recommends that when you actually have a sweet craving, just pop open a cap and put it in your mouth and let it absorb in that way to control the sweet craving. So there's more than one way of working with this tool. But it is a lifesaver, and I would recommend it highly. And if anybody is dealing with this kind of issue, can I beat my own drum here for a minute?
Yeah, please.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we want to know how to find you.
If anybody is dealing with this or other chronic issues, if you haven't found the right tool for the right job, you know, education is the intervention over here. And what I provide more and more these days is concierge-style coaching, health coaching, to people, again, all over the world. You know, we can do this on the phone. We can do this on Skype. We can do it over email. You know, basically, we have a long conversation. There's some pre-work, which I'll spare you. Once we get that in place, we have a long conversation. My goal in that conversation is to be better ears than anybody has ever been for everybody with a chronic condition. Because almost always, if you talk to people with chronic conditions, they'll tell you, I can't get anybody to really hear my whole story. You know? So I want to hear the whole story because, first of all, it's often where the best clues come from, in the little dusty corners that no one's examined for a while. Okay? Then I'll chew on it for a while and I'll do some homework. Okay, I have a huge library that I've accumulated over years, and it's not all in my head. A lot of it is in my databases, so I'll do lots of searches, and I'll start assembling things, and I'll combine that with the knowledge that I have gained over 35 years of doing this. And I usually put together options for people, because what I find is that, and you've seen this in your work too, some people are really ready to jump in with both feet. You tell them what to do, they'll do it. Yay. Other people, very understandably, take some time to get used to the idea of, you know, taking care of themselves, understanding what modern industrialized food does to us. You know, baby steps are often better than giant steps, even, you know, when it comes to education. You know, so, you know, I'll try and give people options, and, you know, with the experience of working with people in various points on that spectrum, not trying to overwhelm people. Although there are people who like the information, just like me, and those are the folks I really do my best work with. If you're out there and you want to understand what's happening on a very deep level with a chronic condition, let's have a chat. You know, go to go to selfcareadvisor.net, okay? And on just about every page, you'll see a Let's Start a Conversation button. Click that button, sign yourself up for a free 20 or 30-minute initial consult, okay? And let's see if we have an interesting conversation. And if we do, you know, I might have some ideas for you that no one else has had so far, like L-glutamine for sugar addiction.
I love
it. It's great. So interesting.
So I was curious, Duane, is one of your tool sets, do you work with juicing or do you juice? Or
you know,
that's a big deal for us.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. I do juice. In my own way, I juice daily. I have gotten in the habit of making a glass of dilute lemon juice water every morning.
Nice.
And that's how I start my day.
Okay.
And I think that's just wonderful. It's, you know, all of us who like to go out for coffee in the morning, try starting your day with a strong hit of vitamin C sometime and see what happens. It's really good for the adrenals.
Mm.
And it's a pick-me-up, for me at least, you know. So I start with my lemon juice. And then usually about once a year, I will take myself on a 5-day juice fast, emphasizing vegetable juices. And I'll just do that as kind of maintenance, as a cleanse, you know, the
right.
kind of thing you guys do, you know. And, you know, maybe some other time, if you like this kind of thing, you know, you can get me back on and I'll tell you the story of my very first juice cleanse, because I'm sure that's a funny story. After growing up in the 50s with all that lead in the air, first time I ever did a juice fast, I had 3 days from sleep. And then I felt like I had died and gone to heaven. I could see how Gandhi, I could see how Christ had done it. You know, I woke up on the third day. I was doing my morning enemas, right? I don't know if you guys are into that. I'm into morning enemas during a juice cleanse.
And, that's a good idea. Do you do them with coffee or water?
No, just you know, body temperature water.
Okay.
And, God, the sun was shining, the birds were chirping, you know, and I felt like I could go out and do the loaves and fishes number if I had to.
But for 3 days, you were just had lead coming out of your body and you felt terrible, huh?
Well, you know, I now understand that what was happening is I was kicking myself over into ketosis. And of course, what happens is the body starts consuming itself and all the gunk comes out, right? And I was juicing, and I was juicing green stuff, so I was flushing it out as best as possible. But when that stuff is swimming around in your bloodstream, you know, it inflames you, and it can really ruin your day. You know?
Yeah, you go through what are called temporary detox right. symptoms. You know, you might have a headache for like 12 minutes, and it's maybe the worst headache you've ever had. And then you just keep flushing the system, and as a result, like whatever's there, you begin to pee and eliminate it, you know, number two, out of the body, and it's huge. The body doesn't act the same after you've gotten it out, you know.
Oh,
like you were saying,
you started to
feel the lightness where you come up, you know.
I was rather naive about what I was doing, you know. I wasn't doing baby steps, you know. I stopped all solid food,
right.
And you know, it was my very first fast. You know, a friend of mine was guiding me. You know.
That's kind of why we invented our juice till dinner sort of cleanses for people that want to just start, like they're not ready to go the full Monty yet, you know?
Yeah, so. It's really important to listen to that little inner wisdom, you know? I think, you know, that's what I've learned over the years. It's part of the process of doing a good job as any kind of coach or consultant for somebody is figuring out, you know, how to help them be in touch with their inner wisdom, how fast to go. Because that's often the most reliable thing. I didn't know better at the time. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, maybe I overdid it. Maybe it was a good thing because I gave myself a very intense experience. and came out the other side a much better person for it, understanding in a way I would never have understood just what, I think I was probably in my 30s, so probably my 35, 36 at that point, what 30-odd years of living in a highly industrialized society, eating this food, breathing this air, drinking this water, it helped me see what I had done to myself, you know? And up to that time, you know, I thought it was other people. I thought it was society. I thought, you know, I was living in a really messed up place and it was everybody else. And putting myself through that fasting experience helped me to understand that, yeah, you know, we've all got stuff. That's sort of a given, you know. But if I wanted to move through the through my life, you know, lightly and productively and harmoniously and gracefully, you know, certainly the state of mind that I put myself into with that fast and with subsequent fasts, you know, I can see why Christ went out to the desert for 40 days. If you're going to deal with the kind of stuff that a lot of us who have open hearts and minds have to deal with, you want to experience bliss. And a good fast will get you there, won't it?
Yeah, if you let it. I mean, some people get in big resistance and they quit. But if you continue and walk through it, you can learn about yourself. I mean, I love how you're saying that fasting is like holding the mirror up to yourself, you know, slowing it down so you can actually examine what might be going on inside.
Yeah, that says it so beautifully. That's exactly what I was doing, but I don't think I would have thought of that until you pointed it out.
Wow. It's really interesting, too, you mentioned the enemas, because in the Gerson therapy, that's they have you do these coffee enemas so you can bring glutathione into the liver. And, yeah, I just thought that was interesting because you were talking about taking glutathione in order to work with your sugar addiction, you know.
Okay, well, first of all, what you take is L-glutamine.
L-glutamine.
Okay.
And are those different? Have I got to mix them up?
And glutathione is something else. Glutathione it feeds phase two detox, and it's made from NAC, which is made from L-cysteine, sulfur compounds. Onions and things like that, eggs will have sulfur compounds. So that's where glutathione comes from. And I have heard that thing with the that thing about the coffee enemas. I hadn't heard the glutathione connection to that, though. That's interesting. That explains
supposedly it's what brings it to the liver, and then that helps the second phase detox, like you said.
Well, you know, in Chinese medicine, 1 to 3 a.m. is liver time. And Chinese people say that, you know, Chinese acupuncturists say that, you know, the blood returns to the liver during those hours to be refreshed and cleansed. And so, you know, certainly when we sleep, that's, you know, what the catabolic state, right? We're breaking the body down and cleansing things and rebuilding, you know, and all of that. So it would make sense that in the morning there would be waste to be discharged. And I don't know about you, but generally when I get up in the morning, it's time for me to, you know, go sit on the throne for a little bit, right?
You know? Right.
I think it's a common human experience. Well, yeah. The idea with the morning enemas, with even just water, is that, you know, if you're fasting, you're not putting fiber into your system. That can make your bowels get stuck, okay? And if you're involved in an intense cleanse, you want to be washing the bowels out on a regular basis so that stuff doesn't just build up in there and get reabsorbed and recycled and make the experience into the nasty thing
that it
can be if it's not done correctly. You know, juice fasting is intense. Not eating and doing juice all by itself, oh my word, that is not a lightweight cleanse. That is intense, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it is.
You know, I would
guide people through it all the time. Some people find it super easy, and some people, they hate it. And that's the truth.
You know?
That's the truth. And then there's those that love to hate it.
Yeah, well,
you guys have much more of a track record with that tool than I do. But you know, if I were structuring a clinical fasting program, you know, I would try and get a sense of how toxic somebody was, and do some cleansing juices while they were still eating, you know, and put them through a few rounds of that.
I mean, when people call in, we begin those conversations, you know, to talk about where they're at and where they want to get to. So we have about...
You want to send somebody up in a helium balloon a few times before you send them up in a rocket.
Exactly, right. So we have about 5 or 6 minutes of the show left, and I wanted to go over this week's lifestyle hack. So because this show is on sugar addiction, this week's hack is a sugar diary. So what you would do is you would go through the week and you would document when you find yourself eating sugar. And you could have a couple of categories, like if you made a little grid, you could have, Mondays, and then on the top of the grid, there'd be like, okay, I had fruit sugar, I had processed sugar, I had complex carbohydrates, I had plain carbohydrates or refined carbohydrates. And the first thing to bring consciousness to it, to understand, well, how much sugar am I actually taking on a regular basis? Maybe I'm not really a sugar addict. Maybe I just, could wean to less sugar. Or maybe I really have a problem. Oh, wow, look, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I had a candy bar at 11, and then I also had a big giant fruit juice at 3 o'clock or whatever. But the lifestyle hack this week is to get a little diary going and get an idea of where you're at. And then after you look at yourself for 7 days, this is a self-reflection process, much like fasting is, look at the chart and look at the worst offenders. What is the most toxic kind of sugar, the most refined sugar that you're consuming? And figure out how to take that out and maybe replace it for a less offending sugar, or maybe even replace it with something that is healthy. If it's a candy bar at 11 o'clock every day, or a mocha frappuccino at 4 o'clock that has like 10 tablespoons of sugar in it, try to replace it with something healthy. Maybe replace it with an apple if you can. I know that's really extreme. Like, I couldn't do that. I don't know what you guys think, but,
yeah, I have to agree to that too, because I found that journaling has helped a lot when I kind of fall off the wagon, as we're talking about getting on and getting off with these ups and downs. So I find that that's a great way to start, where I may use that week as like an unbiased week. Like, I'm just going to go and just start documenting without any judgment. And then you notice that you're just kind of, yeah. And you notice that maybe day one, day two, day three is a little bit, rough. And then you find that four, you're getting consciousness and you're choosing. So maybe you do choose an apple because you're looking at, I mean, I've been in that situation before where it's like, do I want this something sweet, or do I want an apple or some grapes? And I find that the grapes are there, and then that's great. That's my choice. And then having this journal is re-fortifying that you're being more conscious in your choices. And that's how you change and break these bad habits, is by having more conscious forethought, when you can actually deliberate in your mind, like, I think I'll just choose this fresh fruit over this, high sweet whatever bar. Yeah.
I'd add a couple of columns to that journal. One of them being mood, and another being energy.
Oh, yeah, so right. Like a reaction to what you're documenting.
It's like, what was the rest of the day like? What was the next morning like? Was life, full of rainbows and cherries, or was it full of raspberries and less fun things?
That's a great suggestion. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, and the other thing too, like if you're doing coffee with massive sugar in it, maybe you could keep your ritual of coffee, but change it to a green tea, and maybe start to take out the sugar slowly. Like when you're doing sugar addiction, don't try to just cut it cold turkey. I mean, obviously try the amino acids, but step yourself out slowly. And the first part is just getting this grid, getting conscious of where you're left and how you feel, right? So, Duane, if you could share your contact information one more time for people that are listening.
Yeah, thank you.
And get a coach. Get someone to coach you. This is a hard thing. It's not easy.
Thanks so much for bringing me on. And yeah, I am Duane Law, DuaneLaw. You can just Google me, or you can look me up at selfcareadvisor.net. That's selfcare, all one word, advisor with an O, all one word again, .net. And I've got free 20, 30-minute chats for anybody who feels like they want to have one.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to talk to you again.
It's been so nice hearing your voices.
Thank you.
We have to connect in person soon. We're only about 30 miles apart.
I know. We'll see you soon. I'll make a visit.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care, you guys.
All
Keep
right.
juicing.
We'll catch you next week on The Earthly Dish. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Please tune in at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Earthly Dish Radio Hour on innerlightradio.com. For more of The Earthly Dish, visit us on Facebook at the Earthly Dish Radio Show fan page, or follow us on Instagram at Earthly Dish. Follow me, Detox Jenny, at www.detoxjenny.com, or catch me on Instagram at JennyGotJuiced.
And you can find me, Detox Ellie Lara, at www.ellielara.com and on Instagram at Ellie Lara. Have a delicious week.